All right, anyway, we go out to another guy I love, Daryl Ryder, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know if the feeling's mutual, but I do love you, Daryl. Thanks for taking a couple minutes, man.
You got it.
Yeah, okay. That just means you don't love me. That's okay. That's fine. It's okay. You don't even follow me back on Twitter. I don't know why I would assume there's some love involved between us, but you know, I think we get along pretty well.
I don't follow you? What?
You don't follow me on Twitter.
I will have to look into that and investigate. I mean, I did not know that.
It's okay. I rip people. If you work together with people, I feel like there's some sort of sense of you should probably follow the other person back. Like it's a courtesy thing. I just figured within your own. Here's the thing. You started following Jake Chapman though, and I was like, I've been here way longer than Jake Chapman has. How do I not get the follow back from Daryl?
Well, hang on. Let me.
You got the ability to write that wrong.
Phone here.
Uh huh. Yeah. Fantastic radio.
I'm going to do this right now.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Well, as you're doing that, let's go into some of what happened with Game 1 as we get ready for Game 2 as well. Now I feel like I guilted him into a foul. It's okay. I'm not that great of a foul. It's all right. The officials, Daryl, I believe they blew it, but I think it's a subjective call, and the officials made themselves matter. And I also don't think judgment calls were meant to be officiated in slow motion, but that's a story for a different time. Do you feel as if the officials weighed themselves into the scenario in too important of a moment in order to, obviously the idea there is to try to get it right, but I get every Cavs fan out there and wondering just how badly they blew it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the officials interjected themselves into the outcome of a basketball game, and that's just, it's not good. Especially for a league, and I tweeted this the other night, you know, Adam Silver is so concerned right now with this gambling and getting their cut, if you will, of the legalized, you know, sports betting. But here's the problem. If your officials are this bad and you have a legitimate officiating problem and it shows up on your biggest stage, the NBA Finals, you might want to get your house in order before you worry about your revenue. That's just me. Because what we saw the other night was completely inexcusable, and mm-hmm. I typically don't like to go to the officials cost the, you know, a Cleveland team a game card, but they blew several calls down the stretch. You had a couple of steals that were called fouls or not called fouls. You know, LeBron got called for a swipe on Durant that was clean, and then he got a ball stolen from him and clearly was hit on the arm in the process, and there was no call there. You have the reversal, which, letter of the law, sure, you can go to the replay monitor in that situation if you have a question, and only if you have a question, if LeBron was, you know, in the charge circle. Mm-hmm. And everyone could see he wasn't in the charge circle. There was no debate there. So I don't understand that particular situation. They missed Draymond Green's lane violation that should have given George Hill another free throw attempt there. They missed LeBron calling time, trying to frantically call time out there as J.R. Smith was, trying to run the clock out.
Yeah.
Just so many things. And with all of that stuff that happened, Jonathan, you know, the Cavs did have 5 minutes to win that basketball game. And they were they completely had the life sucked out of them, and Golden State curb stomped them in overtime. But the officiating was atrocious at the end of Game 1, and hopefully those three guys don't see the floor again in these finals.
Yeah, I guess what I keep going back to is, and you weighed it out, you had a million different reasons and a million different scenarios, as every Cavs fan has done for the past 72 hours and trying to figure out how just job they got. But The problem I have with this, and I got a lot of problem with instant replay, I got a lot of problem with technology muddying the waters, but the biggest problem I have is I can't come up with a reason for why I would believe the refs would want the Cavs to lose that game. I can't come up with anything, because you want the series to go longer, right? Well, the Cavs being in perfect position to steal a game there would have gone straight to script on that.
Yeah, I don't think it was a situation where the officials wanted the Cavs to lose. I think it's just a situation they were just incompetent at their job. I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think that they were trying to play favorites. I just think that they, you know, made some honest mistakes and miscalculations in that game, which is unacceptable. Again, that's the league's biggest stage, and to have that happen is certainly a shame.
I thought J.R. Smith had an interesting comment yesterday. He said playing with LeBron is a blessing and a curse. LeBron has done everything in his power to stick up for J.R. over the past 48 hours, 72 hours since game one ended. Are you surprised that J.R. would go that route at that moment after? And I'm trying to absolve J.R. I root for J.R. I tend to think positive things. After game seven in 2016, J.R.'s got that lifetime pass for me. But this has been a bad look for J.R. over really not only the actual moment, but then also some of his comments and some of his aloofness after the fact as well.
Well, I mean, that's just JR being JR. Listen, I cover the Browns, so I should be immune to seeing the absurd. But what I saw the other night topped it all. I never, ever thought I would see something as ridiculous as I did at the end of regulation with JR completely being unaware of the game situation. I mean, LeBron can recite the play-by-play for all, 52 minutes of that basketball game, and J.R. Smith can't even tell you what the score is with the game on the line. But, you know, I read what J.R. said, and I also listened to what J.R. said, because sometimes what is in print, Jonathan, the context of which gets lost sometimes, you know, the vocal inflection and emotion and those type of things. I don't think JR said anything that was wrong, inaccurate, or even disrespectful to LeBron. Because what he said is absolutely true. It is a blessing, but it is also a curse. You get to play with the greatest player of a generation, of a lifetime. But with that comes the responsibility and pressure of that you got to perform, you've got to win. And if you don't, you are a failure. And so that's, that's the reality of the situation. And so in that context, Jonathan, he's 100% right. It is a blessing, but it also is a curse, because if LeBron doesn't win this series, and the Cavaliers don't win this series, he's a failure.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to talk about. Everyone's going to talk about, in the finals, he's not the greatest of all time. He chokes in crunch time, which all of it's absurd and it's wrong and unfair, but that's just that's the reality that LeBron is living with as again, the greatest player in the game today.
Yeah, I just think the blessings far outweigh the few curses that come with playing with LeBron, because you can go to X amount of finals, and J.R. Smith's life has been incrementally better since LeBron James came into the picture. Joined by our own Daryl Ryder here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Daryl, we talked before game one, and I think we both had the same impression on the series. I think we realized it was going to be an uphill battle for the Cavs. How much of your opinion after watching game one actually go down, and you saw the stretches there where Golden State started off a 7-0 run in the third quarter, and you thought maybe this is where they start to separate. But really, despite even the poor three-point shooting that the Cavs did have in game one, they looked like they can legitimately go toe-to-toe with this Golden State team. And that obviously comes with the caveat that Kevin Durant did not play particularly good in the fourth quarter, and Steph Curry, although had 29 points, was wildly inefficient.
Yeah, and I realize what I'm about to say isn't tremendous insight here, but I'm going to say it anyway. This game tonight can go one of two ways. It can go similar to game one, where the Cavaliers are in it, they're competitive, they're in a position to win it late and down the stretch, or it can go the exact opposite way, where they're still feeling the effects and the hangover from the disappointment of game one, because that has an opportunity to be extremely crushing to the Cavaliers. I think that what we saw in game one was that this series potentially could be a lot more competitive than maybe myself and a lot of the other experts that are out there nationally expect it to be. I mean, listen, I expect this to be a sweep or a five-game series. I don't think it's going to go six. I do think if it goes seven, the Cavaliers will win it in seven, but anything shorter, it'll be the Warriors, because I don't see the Cavaliers as being two and three games better than this Golden State team. I am very curious as to how this game tonight goes. I will say the Cavaliers always perform best when their backs are against the wall, when there's chaos, when there's controversy.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tonight they come out and they pop Golden State square in the chops again, and this time they don't blow it down the stretch. So I think that there's a good opportunity that the Cavaliers can come back to Cleveland 1-1. The shame of it will be is if they win tonight, Jonathan, we're going to be sitting there saying they should be up 2-0.
Yeah, I've already played that mentally in my head like 12 million times, and then everyone coming back to just blaming this game one and being like, they robbed us. And I'm like, oh, come on, people, let's get over it. It'll be okay. Daryl, what one player, not named LeBron, are you looking forward to really keying in on that the Cavs need to have step up big in order to get a W tonight?
Well, I think it's the same formula. The shooters have to make the shots. But if you want me to just give you one player, I'm going to say J.R. Smith.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Hey, he blew game one. Let's see how the guy, you know, let's see how he responds.
I'll take a 5-for-6, 6-for-7 3-point game from J.R. Smith. I feel like it's got the recipe for it. For JR just to come out and just absolutely go bonkers. And then again, too, maybe he'll have the Jordan Clarkson syndrome and all of a sudden decide that after he misses 6 or 7 shots to continue to keep taking shots, and that would be the absolute worst outcome there. Daryl, when I think big picture with the Warriors, Andre Iguodala not being on the court obviously sets up well for LeBron, and then the potential injury to Klay Thompson, right. Is this the best chance the Cavs will have to steal another game? Like looking forward, I got a feeling they're only going to get healthier and they're only going to get more into the rhythm of the game and the series, and like the Cavs need this one tonight.
Well, I think Klay's going to try and go. I don't think that there's any question there. To me, it's a question of will he be able to, or if he does, how effective is he going to be? I'd have to imagine they'll just, you know, they'll give him the painkiller shot, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, some Toradol or something.
Make that ankle, make him forget that ankle's even there. But game one was a missed opportunity. No question about it. You can't dwell on it. You have to move on. So game two is your next opportunity. If you would have told me going into the series that they would go to Oakland and get a split, I would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. So this is another must-win for the Cavaliers. You got to get out of Oakland with a split if you want to have a legitimate chance of winning this series. Because I don't think if you fall behind 3-1 in this series, I don't think this Golden State team is one that you're going to be able to repeat the final three games of the series. I don't see it happening. So if you're going to win the series, you got to win tonight. An opportunity knocks again. Klay Thompson's not going to be 100%. Andre Iguodala is probably not going to play, so got to take advantage of it. They did in game one. They had a chance in the final 30 seconds to win that game. They didn't get it done. So, what concerns me a little bit is the fact that, you know, LeBron scored 51 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists in that, and they still lost.
Yeah.
You know, if LeBron is going to have to go out and score 50 points per game and the Cavs are going to lose, if I'm him when this series is over, I'm asking myself some serious questions, because I don't think that there's anything else that LeBron can do to help this basketball team. It's up to his supporting cast tonight to push him and carry him across the finish line. So that's J.R. Smith. That's Kyle Korver. Kevin Love has got to play better than he did in game one. And he played okay in game one. Mm-hmm. He wasn't great. He wasn't terrible, but need more out of Kevin Love. So I thought Larry Nance Jr. had himself a pretty nice NBA Finals debut. Jordan Clarkson, every time he touches the basketball, needs to have a stop sign. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot on him. George Hill, need him to score a little more. So to me, it comes down to that supporting cast, Jonathan. You know you're going to get another legendary performance from LeBron, but the other guys got to step up and get him across that finish line.
I agree. Great stuff as always, Daryl. Appreciate it, and also appreciate the foul back. You did make good on your word. I didn't mean to bully you into it, but I got there.
There you go. I followed you on Twitter. I honestly had no idea I wasn't following you.
If it was worth the 3 hours of doing the show today, it was to get the foul back from you. Don't worry. I'm thinking about deleting my Twitter anyway. But so we'll cross that road when we get there. But for right now, you made my Twitter a lot better place. I'm getting too wrapped up into it. I'm spending way too much time. I like the information side of things. Some people can just be cruel on there as well. I don't love that side of things. I'm not really. I'm a softie, Daryl.
Speaking as someone that, yeah, Yeah, well, speaking as someone who deals with some of the nonsense on Twitter, the mute and block buttons are your friend. My rules are if you express an opinion that I don't like or that is critical of my opinion, I typically will mute you. If you get personal and vulgar about it, I block you. Those are my rules. So, take that for what it's worth. I don't think you need to delete your Twitter. But maybe use the mute button, if anything, and then you'll feel better.
Yeah, and again, I got a lot of good things to, you know, people say nice things too. You know, it balances it out. You get some good things, but every now and then people just, you know, just, it kind of stings a little bit at times, if we're going to be honest. But I'm a tough guy. I'll figure it out. But Daryl, I appreciate the advice. Appreciate the follow back. And of course, all the great stuff and Cavs content as well. And of course, we'll be checking out the Brown stuff as the week progresses too over at 92.3thefan.com. Daryl Ryder, I appreciate it as always, man. Daryl Ryder right there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Yeah, I don't mean to make that in any, like, I'm being soft or anything like that as far as for can't handle these mean Twitter streets or something like that. But sometimes the juice is not worth the squeeze in the Twitter world. But for the most part, you all pretty good. So I appreciate that as well.